called it. And my message this morning, actually want to start with a Psalm 2, not Psalm 2, but Psalm 103. And in a moment, I'd like us to read all of this psalm, all of us together. So it'll come up on the screen, but if you'd like to find it in your Bible, you can do. Just give you a little bit of context and tell you then why I want us to do this. So some of you will know this anyway, but the book of Psalms in the Old Testament is effectively a collection of songs. And each of them was written by King David. Some of them written by other writers as well. And they would have been an individual expression of both praise and thanks, sometimes lament. It would have been an expression of their own heart towards God and towards people. But they would also have been, as they were written, they would have been written with the intention of them being used and sung and read in public as well. So they were an expression that was used by individuals, but they're also an expression used by church. The church didn't exist then, but in the temple, it would have been an expression of the people of God as they came together. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to stand to honor God's word. And what I'd like us to do is I'd like you to imagine as this psalm was written, it's probably around about, if my maths is correct, somewhere around 3,000 years ago. These words, of course, have been translated for us to be able to use them. But there's that sense of imagining what David was expressing himself, his own personal response, but also that this psalm would be used in a gathering, a corporate gathering, as an expression, as a declaration, as a recital, if you like, of praise and of thanks. So I'd like you to imagine, as we read these words together, just think back 3,000 years ago that these words would have been used. And as we read them together, you'll see how applicable, how relevant they are to us as an expression of our praise and thanks. So I wonder if you're able, there's no pressure, you stand with me. The words will appear on the screen. And I'm believing this morning that as we share some of these things, of course, this is really an overflow of where we've been already in our praise and our worship and expression of our praise and our thanks. So let's make these words our own today, a declaration. Here we go. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made this Lord heart. Go with that. to all that is damn. Praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom, let all that I am praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Great words. Please sit down and forgive my copy and paste skills. What amazing words. And I hope that as we spoke them and declared them, that you were not just reading them out, but there was something in your spirit that was going, yes, this is true for me. This is true for me. This is how I want to respond today and every day and in the future going forward. There's lots of things we could say about that psalm, and I'm not going to dissect it and draw loads of points from it this morning, but there's a few things that I want to say. And first of all, a very quick story. Some of you will relate to this very, very well. There was a dad who went into the supermarket with a newborn baby. The newborn baby was upset and very vocal. Anyone ever been there or experienced the supermarket young baby syndrome? I think that's what it is. And the dad who was there was doing his best. He's pushing the trolley around. He's putting food into the trolley. And he can be heard to be saying, "It's all right, George. We're nearly done. Don't worry, George. We'll be finished soon. It's all right, George. We'll be going home before you know it." And an empathetic mum was on looking and observing what was happening, and she sees that the baby was still screaming, and she was so impressed by the way that the dad was handling himself and how he was encouraging his son. So at the checkout, she approached the dad and said to him, "Can I just say, it's been amazing to have witnessed how you've cared for baby George as you've walked around the shop." Dad looks a little bit confused for a moment. So the mum says again, "I've seen how you've interacted with George. Can I just say it's been amazing and heartwarming?" And the dad says, "No, you've got it all wrong. He's not George. I'm George." And I don't know about you, but talking to yourself, people say, is the first sign of madness. Actually, I've said it before, I think actually talking to yourself is one of the most sensible spiritual disciplines that we can do. And at the start of this psalm, that is effectively what David is doing. He's saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." What he's doing is he's saying everything that I am, all that is within me, praise his holy name. There's that sense where he's going, he's saying, look, everything that I am, all that I am, praise his holy name. If we had the amplified or the extended version, I imagine that he's saying, listen, it doesn't matter what my circumstances look like, it doesn't matter what situation I find myself in, doesn't matter who's up against me, what I'm going to do is recognize that my soul, speaking to my soul and saying, my soul will praise the Lord, all that is within me. Because David understood, and I think we understand too, that praise is actually nothing to do with our feelings. It's nothing to do with our circumstances. It's to do with the Most High God, who always has been and always will be so worthy of praise. And David, the ancient psalm writer, as I was preparing and thinking, this is something I've been thinking about, praying over the summer, I was reminded not just of this psalm, and not of this ancient psalmist, but got me thinking about the more current psalmist. Some of you will know one of the psalmists, the current day psalmist who writes a lot of the songs that we sing, or some of those, a guy called Matt Redman. And he wrote a song back in 2011, which kind of captured people's hearts. It's one of the most popular Welsh song. I think we sang it at your wedding, Dom and Roanne, didn't we? It's one of those songs which just feels like it expresses and encapsulates so many things that we are truths for us individually, but truths for us as church as well. And this song that he wrote, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, we call it 10,000 Reasons. That this song is all based around Psalm 103. And so Matt Redman kind of takes the psalm and he uses those words as many songwriters do, current songwriters would do. They use the psalms to be able to express ancient truths and put them in language that we can use and applies to us today. So he wrote these words, and some of you will know it because it's a song that we've sung. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's taken the words straight from Psalm 103. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I worship your holy name. And as I was thinking and praying over the summer, and I was, you know how when you have the opportunity to sometimes pause and reflect, many of us, we're living life at 100 miles an hour, and sometimes there aren't too many pause moments, but over the summer is often one of those pause moments, right? And in one of those pause moments, I can't remember where I was or what I was doing, I was having a conversation with God, and I was saying, God, what next? What next for me? What next for us as church? And I felt like God said really clearly to me, something in my spirit. He said, Matt, it's time to sing like never before. And I know these words, and I've sung these words, and they kind of resonate with me. In one sense, songwriters have a great responsibility because they put words in our mouth. And Matt Redman, when he writes this song, he's putting out a challenge, isn't he? Because, you know, sing like never before. I don't know about you, but once I've reached a point, I think, well, I can't sing like never before because I've already sung like never before because I've already done that already. So singing like never before seems like, well, you know, it's like athletes who beat their PB and they go further and they do more and they achieve more. It seems like the goal is always beyond. The goal is always something next. But then I realized that actually in God and in the kingdom, there's always more. Wherever we've got to, wherever we've come to, there is always more. And if you're like me, you can think of that in two ways. One way you can think, oh my word, golly, I feel weary at the thought of more. Anybody else sometimes feel like that? You're saying, well, you know, especially if you live in a target-driven environment where people are saying there's more, drive more, further, harder, more. But in the kingdom of God, it's always because God is looking beyond. And his motivation in his heart is always because he wants us to get to the next place in him. So singing like never before is really, it's not a pressure thing. It's really an encouragement. It's like, the voice of heaven says, Matt, you can do this. Ashwood, you can do this. Time to sing like never before. And I was, as I was thinking, I also reminded of our friend Rita, who we celebrated her life at the start of the summer. And many of you will have known Rita, part of our church family for years, who was fighting serious illness, and she passed away. She went to be with Jesus at the start of the summer. And I was thinking about Rita. Those of you, not everyone will have had the privilege of knowing her, but what an inspiration she was. That actually through her struggle and her fight with illness, she didn't just stay strong in her faith, she grew in her faith. You know, during that season, those of you will know that actually she strengthened her faith, didn't she? And it was an incredible inspiration. And I was just meditating and thinking on Rita and thanking God for her. And I realized that actually it's almost like I could hear, you know, if Rita was here today, she wouldn't be focused on her illness. She never was. She would be, I could just hear her saying, as we were communicating with her, look, Ashwood, it's time to sing like never before. because those of you who know her, that was how she operated, wasn't it? And there's something when we're faced with huge life challenges to be able to stand firm in our faith. Romans 4 talks about even growing in our faith, it sounds counterintuitive, but actually in the kingdom terms, it's possible. And I just love the idea that actually into the very heart of who we are, there's the cry of heaven saying, sing like never before. And of course, we've got so much to be thankful for, haven't we? And that's why I wanted us to read Psalm 103 together. As we look forward as church, Zoe's already mentioned it, we want to take the opportunity to celebrate things that we've been praying for a number of years. So if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we cracked open the party poppers, we had the helium balloons, we had breakfast together. I think we were kind of going to do that anyway. But we want to pause and to stop and remember and to celebrate and to thank God. In 2 weeks' time, as Zoe says, we'll do that. Steve Wendells will be with us. It's all just dovetailing perfectly together. And we will pray, we'll thank God and we'll look back, but we'll pray and look forward as well. I talked to some people, just allow me to make a couple of comments very quickly. I talked to some people about the whole Ashwood building and land, and in some ways at first it looks like immediately nothing particularly has changed. Next week when you come, you will see a sign on the front which will make it very clear that the building belongs to Ashwood Church, but they couldn't come this week, but that will be here and that will be a change. And in some ways, on the surface it will seem at first like nothing much has changed. But actually, in many ways, the conversation I was having with someone, everything changes. You know, there's a huge shift. So we'll ask some questions, some challenging questions about administration of how this centre operates. Those of you who know some of the details know that it's used by us as church, but it's used during the week by loads of different people in the community. The people arrive on Tuesday for food bank. People come on Tuesday and Friday. Not this week, but the following weeks for Seesaw Toddler Group. This hall is filled. If you ever have a quiet morning and you think I'd like to have something other than a quiet morning, then head down here and you'll find, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 toddlers all just peacefully enjoying time together with parents and grandmas, yeah, it's all relative, parents and grandmas and carers in this place. And you know, when people come in, particularly to Seesaw, they often comment, they go, there's something special about being in this place. And they go, we can't quite put our finger on it. And of course, we know what part of that answer is. There's two answers, actually. One is because the people who facilitate it are incredibly amazing, welcoming folk. They're not all in the room, but some of them are in the room. And they would describe actually Seesaw as part of church. But the other thing is, there is a sense that there is, because we are here and God's presence is here, that when people arrive, that they can't put their finger on it. But won't it be great for us to be able to have the opportunity to explain to them what is different, what looks different, what feels different in this place? And of course, our hope is that we get the opportunity to introduce them to the God who they're actually actually aware of but can't explain it. And there's other things that are going to change. There are some financial implications. The trustees of Ashwood Church are now responsible for a building and land, everybody. So bear that in mind when you're just put an arm around their shoulders. If you want to know who the trustees are, they're the ones with the furrowed brows. But always with a passionate smile. Amen. And we are so grateful for them serving in this way, and that's one of the things that we'll pray for and we'll celebrate on the 16th. So there's a shift. And also we believe there's a spiritual shift as well. Something takes place, and we'll talk about it more, but there's that whole sense of us taking the land. Those of you who know there's a story of Exodus and Moses and Joshua, there's incredible spiritual significance in terms of ownership of the land. So that's a big part of what we'll want to celebrate as well and acknowledge. And it's deeply exciting, and we'll celebrate it, but also it's incredibly challenging. And I can't remember which conversation I was in, but I was talking to someone and saying, so how do we respond to this? Because we are grateful to God, we're excited. We also look ahead and we see that there are challenges. You know, there are things, our medium to long-term future, as we've talked about, is for us to be meeting in a new facility in the car park at the back. So as you walk out to your car, you can always pray and you can imagine what that could look like. And then this place will be a museum very briefly before the bulldozers, God willing, remove all these bricks and take them somewhere else. But in the meantime, of course, we're expecting that will provide us with a journey over the next few years. So in the meantime, this is home. And in the next few weeks, I know a few people have talked of, well, what could we do short term for plans in our home for the next few years to make it into the place that's suitable for us to live short term before the future long term. And there's some small things that we can do. I know there's a few people who are going, well, I tell you what, I've got some time and a paintbrush, so I can come down and we can do some cosmetic things. There's some bigger challenges with heating and things like that we will look at. Anyway, I didn't really mean to say all this, but it's exciting, it's daunting, and our response is really, for many of us, is what? Well, it's not just sing like never before, but it's pray like never before. And it's interesting, at the start of the year, we'd said we would have three seasons in the year where, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that we only rock up three times in the year to pray. That's not what I'm saying. But there's so often significant times where we can say to ourselves, we are going to devote ourselves in prayer for three seasons during the year. In January, if you were here, we all had a spoon. I still got mine. Sometimes as I open my bag and I think, oh, what's that? Feels a bit odd. Oh, I'm carrying around a teaspoon. Why am I doing that? The answer is because we prayed at the start of the year, God, Holy Spirit, would you stir something in us? Would you stir us up? Significant time, I think. And then in May, we prayed as part of Thy Kingdom Come, very much inviting God to come to us and our communities, and praying the prayer that Jesus prayed, God, would you come, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we planned in September to have a season of prayer. Right at the start of the year. And so now as we arrive on the doorstep of that, we say, okay, well, and for me, it's an invitation from God saying, okay, now is the time to pray like never before. And again, it's an encouragement. Okay, how do we get to where we need to be? Pray like never before. We'll have Touch in Heaven on Wednesday where we can sing like never before and pray like never before. But there's a sense that as we celebrate, that's one of the things that we do. And I'm hoping that that you're with me and that we are ready together to pray like never before. Yes. So I started thinking, sing like never before, pray like never before. And next week we'll start a new series in our Sunday meetings, because I actually felt that there was something really significant as well about us dreaming. Now, I don't often use this language because I think sometimes it can be confusing. But I felt that, and we'll look at it. We'll start to look next week at the life of Joseph, and we'll spend a few weeks in a series thinking about living the dream and what that looks like for us individually and as church. But as I was thinking about where we go next, there's a really strong sense that you know the truth is that although we're looking at and thinking about buildings and development and where next, the dream, the vision is never about the building. We've said it so many times, and we'll say it, I'm sure, many more times. The dream really is, and the vision for us is, helping people find and follow Jesus. That's our goal, that's our aim, that's our purpose. And I think what God's going to do, even in this season of prayer, these 14 days, but I think beyond that as well, God is going to be reminding some of us of dreams that he's placed within our hearts and our lives. He's going to prompt us with things that have been significant in the past and are going to be significant. And I feel like really strongly that he's going to bring with a new sense of clarity the things that are important to us individually, but also corporately. I was talking to two brilliant people, a part of church, on Friday evening. And in our conversation, we started talking about Psalm 66, which says that God puts the lonely into a family. And what is that? Well, it's a picture of church. It's a picture of the way that church should be, could be, and will be. And if you've been around Ashwood Church for any season of time, you'll know that happens already, and it will continue to happen. There are people who are involved permanently 24/7. There's other people who come alongside. You know, I don't know about you, just mention very briefly, there are people in our church family who've taken this, if you like, this vision to bring to put the place the lonely in family, and have made that an active response to their, if you like, it's them aligning their dreams with God's dreams. So you'll know some of these people, and they won't mind me just mentioning it, I hope, and they can slap me later. But, you know, Paul and Zoe, who've made life choices to extend their family. Rich and Cheryl, who've made life choices to extend their family. And it's great what they're doing as individuals, but I don't know about you, but I feel like we're all a part of this, and we need to be a part of it. And I think when these guys made that decision, they weren't making it in isolation. They were looking around going, this is really only going to work if we get some help, right? So this isn't a plug for help, but let's continue to recognize that and pray that. And I think that actually in this season, God is going to clarify that to an even greater extent. And there are other people as well. I'm always careful about identifying certain people, because you hear my heart, hear what I'm saying. I'm just expressing something, and I'm not making calls about, you know, don't hear what I'm not saying. Jono and Beth as well, who aren't here this morning. But if you've ever seen them and for a moment thought, oh, well, that happened pretty quick. They've got four kids with them, and you might have been confused. Well, presumably you asked some questions and understood that they're just doing an amazing job of caring and supporting and bringing what could be the lonely into families. And I know across this place that there's all kinds of other examples of how we support and we care for one another. And Jono and Beth are away this weekend, so Simon and Janet just were perfectly positioned to pick up that responsibility, and they were so available that it was easy, right? But there's a difference between a pipe dream and a God dream, and one of the things that we are, or the other thing that we're looking forward to, things are coming thick and fast, and Zoe mentioned it, is we've got our mini conference coming up, and the timing is just so perfect that some of you will know our friend Steve Campbell, who will come and speak to us 6th and 7th of October. The only reason I'm saying that is because I'm just loving you to, as you're making notes this morning, to also make a note in your diary that this, we believe this will be a significant time for us to come together to worship, to pray, but also to hear from God very specifically. And this will be for the whole family. If you've been around before, you'll know the format of what we want to do with the mini conference. I was looking back in my notes. We believe that these times are significant. I read some words that were prophesied to us 3 years ago. Listen to these words. And this was when Stuart Bell came. We had a mini conference. We were looking at the whole subject of church and building and growing church. And this is what he said. This was God speaking prophetically to us as church. Listen to this. He said, "Begin to plan for great days. As Noah began to plan for things he'd been told of, things that were going to happen, there was going to be a significant time of planning, then building, and then preparation. God says that if you see these things, it's now time to really plan. It's time to roll your sleeves up. It's time to get your hands dirty. It's time to really think and plan and be together in this." And then he said this, "And I believe that God is going to very quickly challenge you to make steps towards a greater vision. It will challenge your structures. It will challenge your thought patterns. For God does not want this place to be in obscurity, nor does he want a healthy little group on the sidelines. No. It's the will and intention of God that this church will grow significantly beyond anything you can imagine." And for some, they'd say, "No, I'm not sure this kind of growth. I'm not sure. I don't want to be outside of my comfort zones." God says, "The choice is yours. But if you will hear the word of the Lord, there are great days ahead of growth and expansion. If you value the things of the kingdom more than personal agendas, then God says, I can do wonderful and great things. If you consecrate yourselves, says the Lord, I will tomorrow do great things among you." Now, if that's the word of God, then we stand on his promises, don't we? And we reflect on it and we say, okay, God, if this is you speaking, then we want to respond and be obedient and begin to plan or continue to plan for great days. So sing like never before, pray like never before, dream like never before. Feels like we're on a roll, doesn't it? Yeah. And I'll just tell you one of the conversations that I overheard. It was two people who were talking, and they were reflecting on the fact that there was a shift and with the news about the land and the building. And I heard them talking, and they were saying, "Well, of course, now that this is ours as church, this is going to have implications for us as a family with our finances and the choices that we need to make. We've got a responsibility now for looking ahead, and you know we're going to need to make some shift and changes in our finances." Don't forget, this is me overhearing. This is not me speaking. This is me overhearing. But I love the fact that there was talk straight away of us saying, "Well, what do we need to do? How can we make this work?" And I loved that. And so maybe this next season is also going to be a season where we learn to give like never before. I don't know about you. I don't see giving as a pressure. I see it as a privilege. The fact that there's an opportunity for us to invest in the future, the eternal future. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love a few bits of stuff, but to be able to make a proper investment in things that really matter, then that's where my heart is. And of course, there's a cost to following Jesus. Jesus said himself in Mark chapter 8, he said, called the disciples, and he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it." How many people want to be involved in saving their lives? And how many people know that this sounds counterintuitive, that if you want to get something, you have to give up something? And God forgive us for any time when we make an invitation to follow Jesus and make it too simple. If you're like me, when you something pops up on an iPhone or an iPad or a computer or on a website, and it says, in order for you to make the next step, you have to scroll down through all the terms and conditions. How many people read all of the terms and conditions every single time? I know there will be a few people in the room who do that. But many of you will be like me, and I think, well, I hope they're okay. Scroll, 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 tick, move on. But we never want to do that, do we, when we are encouraging and discipling people to follow Jesus? Because if we don't explain that actually there is a cost, then A, they'll be ready for a shock one day, but B, they're not going to understand that actually the only way to save your life is to give it up. So maybe give like never before. And then finally, and I'm nearly done, I felt like it was the time to remind us of our theme for the year, blessed to be a blessing. Well, of course, all this stuff is great, but if we're not going to be a people who bless like never before, who serve like never before, who give away like never before, then we'll have missed the whole point of it. You know, Jesus came, Jesus' mission was to seek and save the lost. And we talked about it a lot. It's in the very fabric of who we are, that actually we recognize that there is a correlation between the blessing we've received and the blessing that we want to be in our community. And of course, the motivation for all this, I've said it already, please hear what I'm saying and not what I'm not saying. Our motivation for all this is not it's time to work harder. I know that life often involves hard work. But what we're saying before is that our motivation for singing, for dreaming, for praying, for blessing like never before, it comes back to the words in Psalm 103 in verse 10. I think I put this in, did I, Sally? Listen to these words. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve, for his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. So our motivation is not, it's time to work harder, do more, achieve more. Our motivation is, look what God has done, and how can I respond? You know, these words were written 1,000 years before Jesus arrived on the planet. And yet, like the whole of Scripture, literally the whole of Scripture is pointing towards one thing, one person, and his name is Jesus. So in this psalm, David is foreseeing what is going to happen. And he says that in his life, God is going to remove his sins as far as the east is from the west. In other words, God, through Jesus, is going to pay the price so that we can be set free. And of course, that's our motivation. That causes a response, doesn't it? It causes us, once we see that, then that's the motivation to sing like never before. Praise my soul. And all that is within me, praise his holy name. So what is the time? Time to sing, to pray, to dream like never before. And I hope you hear my heart this morning, because I believe this is God speaking to us. Now is not a time to pack up. Now is not a time to back off. Now is not a time to stand down. There may be challenges. There may be struggles. There may be issues. There may even be things that we're facing here in this room. There may be all kinds of stuff. But I believe that it's the cry of heaven that says there is more like never before. And I'm not going to suggest we have a great big response this morning, but I wonder if we just close our eyes for one moment. And I'd love you to ask the question, God, is this what you're saying to me this morning? Is this what you're speaking to me this morning? What is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking into our lives today? An encouragement, calling us, moving us forward, individually and corporately. As got one more very quick thought, but if you're saying this morning, I hear not just Matt saying this, but believe that this is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, I wonder if you just stand with me. I'm standing, and then we're just going to pray for us. And I've got one other very quick prophetic thought. Let's close our eyes, shall we? And in these moments, just make a declaration that we've heard what God is speaking to us this morning by His Spirit. God, as we respond to You this morning, that sense that these ancient words that we've thought about for these few moments, they ring through the passage of time and they become our words this morning, that we want to recognize and say, I want to sing like never before, dream like never before, pray like never before. And God, I pray that for each of us this morning, that You would, I thank You that You never ask us to do something that You're not going to help us with. So this morning, there's a very strong sense that You're alongside us, You're with us, You're for us. And I believe that as we pray particularly in the Holy Spirit, that You're going to stir things within us. There's going to be these things are going to rise up, not naturally, but supernaturally, as we align ourselves with the plans and purposes that God has for us. So God, hear our hearts today, we pray. Individually, we respond to You, we reach out to You, God. We make a declaration that as Ashwood Church, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to dream, going to give, going to be a blessing like never before, like never before. Thank You that You've not forgotten us. Thank You that Your call is still to us. Thank You that we have a part to play. Thank You that there is a greater vision for us to pursue. Thank You that amongst the challenges that our eyes are fixed on You, God, all that You have for us. And we receive Your Holy Spirit empowering us today. Recognize that, as David said in that psalm, on our own we are so weak, we are nothing. We're like flowers that just blow away in the wind. But with You, we're a force for the kingdom. Just with your eyes closed, can I just share with you one very last thought, because I feel it's connected. I felt that God prophetically was speaking to us, speaking to me actually, that in this next season, particularly in September, I felt like there was the voice of heaven was speaking to us, and I had this image of a dance floor. And I felt like the cry of heaven was really, can I have this next dance? And the image that I had was, you know how there's lots of ballroom dancing, there's dances that take place and there are people dancing, and then at some point, someone says, can I just cut in? Can I have this next dance? And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to us as church, can I have this next dance? Can I have this next dance? Can I have this next dance? You know, we never do it deliberately, do we? But there's times when we get so caught up, we get so busy in the stuff of life. And you know, God very rarely pushes in. He very rarely, I'm not saying He never does, but He very rarely pushes into our lives. But you know, He's waiting. Sometimes He's waiting, just saying, can I have this next dance? Can I cut in? And that the reason this is so important is because you realize that dance has nothing to do with work. Dance is something that you do for enjoyment, for pleasure. And some types of dances are done with partners who love us. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And this morning, with our eyes closed, I just wonder if you recognize that this is the word of God for you this morning, that you respond. Say, God, with all my heart, with everything that is within me, my answer is very simply, yes. You can have this next dance.
We're getting to the time when our meeting would normally close, but I think it's just really important for us to stand in God's presence for a few more minutes. I think there's a lot of things to respond to this morning. Some really significant things that Matt shared with us. That there might be one of those things, the singing, the praying, the dreaming, the giving, the blessing, that's really connected with you. Maybe because you're struggling to do that, but I sense for some of us it's more because it excites us. It's because we're our heart's beating faster and we're saying, yes, God, I want to step into that. For some of us, it might be the first time that we've connected with what God's saying to us, that it's the first time we've really thought, yeah, I want to give up my life for Jesus, for this good news. It's the first time you've heard about God's love and you want to respond to that. Some of you might have really connected with James's story this morning and you feel that weight of depression and you want to break out of it. I want to say to you this morning, don't leave this morning without someone praying with you. In a minute, there's going to be a prayer team down here by the banner. And if any of those things that I've said, then please respond in prayer this morning. Also, there's an opportunity this morning to pray like never before. Some of you will know Jade, who is Cheryl's cousin, Margaret Catamer's niece. A lot of us know Jade. Many years ago, she was part of our youth here at Ashwood. And she's at the moment in a critical condition in hospital. She had a liver transplant this week that went wrong and her body didn't accept it. And she's had another liver transplant, one after the other. It looks like this one's taken, but we want to stand with this family in prayer this morning. And so over at the prayer point this morning, Adrian's going to be there. Those of you who know Adrian knows that she is a faithful prayer. She prays hard into situations and As we pray like never before, I think some of Adrian's prayers are going to be really key in this because she has a real faith to see God's kingdom come. And so Adrian's going to be over there. She's supporting the family and she's going to lead people in a time of prayer. So if you feel like you could pray for Jade this morning, then please go over to that prayer point as well. But let's just respond this morning to all that God said. And God is doing in this place. I'm excited to be part of Ashwood Church in this next season. I'm excited to be part of this next dance. Let's share together now in some social time together, have a coffee, a biscuit, be part of family together. It's such a privilege to be part of God's family, isn't it? But please, if you need to respond more this morning, don't walk away. Come and the prayer team are going to come now. And you can come for prayer and meet with him. Be blessed. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place.